May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. May we take notice of that, take lesson from that this morning, that He would indeed calm our souls and our spirit as we face life situations, as we face uncertainties, as we face even the unknowns of 2017, huh? Because indeed, as each year unfolds, there are unknowns and things that transpire that sometimes we might not understand or have expected. The gospel text for this Sunday morning, second Sunday after the Epiphany, is found in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, beginning with verse 29 through verse 42. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, the following, in Jesus' name. The next day John saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Art thou Simon the son of Jonas? Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Amen. Things transpire quite quickly in the beginning of every new year as we look at the transition from the events of Christmas to the Epiphany, to the baptism, to the call of disciples. John's commentary in John's Gospel is really quite personal, almost a personal statement as a witness of the life of Jesus Christ in contrast to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so we see this transition. We see this change that takes place. And we see this transition in the teachings of John the Baptist, in the actions of John the Baptist, in the writings of John the Apostle, in the actions of those that are called to be disciples, and those that were even John's disciples. When we think of disciples, we think of followers, somebody who is following a teacher. John the Baptist had followers. Seemed like a good man in his life and lifestyle and his teachings and his actions that one should listen to. And so we think of our lives. And who do we listen to? And what do we listen to? And how does that impact us? In our, first of all, our journey of faith and our following of the Lord, but also in our life and how we conduct our life here upon our journey and our time here upon this earth. And so John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus Christ. Family knows family much more intimately, as we all know, than maybe those that are at a distance. Immediate family deals with situations that those outside may not even be aware of. I would have to think that John the Baptist, as the child of Elizabeth, would have played with and enjoyed time with the Lord as they were growing up. Maybe he was in that caravan that went at the age of 12 to Jerusalem, as was appropriate and proper, and they might have played in the dusty streets of small town of Nazareth in Palestine. Think of your immediate family members, brothers and sisters, perhaps. Think of your cousins, the different personalities all of us bring to the table. But John knew his time was, a purpose was one of transition rather than one of sustainment. Remember, as we look here, as John sees Jesus coming unto him in verse 29, he said, this isn't something that was taught to him in the books that he read. This wasn't something that he received from the teachings of the rabbis of that time in the synagogues. He received this by revelation of God the Father in his responsibilities on this earth. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That wasn't something immediate. John the Baptist was never to witness that. He would shortly lose his life at the hands of the authorities of that time. It was 3 years down the road where Jesus went to the cross. As we think about conversations we have, over the course of time, thinking back to at this moment in my childhood, time spent with my cousins, time spent with my siblings, and how things can be very different today and are very different today because we've all gone our own way, all developed our own families. Our first responsibility is to our nuclear family, the father, mom, children that God gives us. And so John and Jesus' life converge. Here they're converging at a very significant event that John performed as he baptizes the Lord in the River Jordan. But the revelation that this is the Messiah, that this is the Christ. This is he of whom I said. Remember, he's always identifying that he's not there to be the one to follow, but this is the one who's preferred before me, for he was before me. And that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come to baptize with water. And so we see this transition of focus. Even John wants his disciples to transition their focus to Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. I think every new year reminds us of transitions in life as we move from one focus to another in the continuity, of course, in our lives, but there is change. I always muse or consider what might be the changes that were unexpected that this year's going to bring. But we have maybe some foreshadowing of something that will transition and change that occurs over the period of the course of the year. And the church goes through transitions too, doesn't it? Generation to generation, for instance. churches change leadership, pastors retire, new pastors are brought up. Part of the responsibility of all of us to see those transitions successfully. Sometimes those changes within the body of believers can be quite rapid. Might be sudden and very impacting. Sometimes it can slowly play out over the course of several years. What we're looking at here in our text is very rapid change. Very rapid change. The life of Jesus moves quite quickly in Scripture, from his birth to his escape to Egypt, visit the Magi, escape to Egypt, the appearance in the temple in Jerusalem at the age of 12, and then the flurry of years that nothing is written that moves him into adulthood. John is properly noting that this is the one who I have come to baptize with water, as has been told. He said, I'm not worthy to do this. This isn't something I should be doing. I should be receiving from you. But in deference, proper deference to the one who was in charge, and would be in charge, and is in charge. The identification of the Spirit that descends in this baptism in the River Jordan. Not Christian baptism, was a baptism of John. Let's be very clear about the differentiation. These very moving times when the Spirit descends and the voice identifies Jesus as the Messiah. Transfiguration Mountain is the other main moving event where the Spirit descends and the voice comes from heaven, which is about 6 Sundays out. And thus he wants his disciples and those that were within earshot to refocus. Refocus and follow the right person. And we develop loyalties quite quickly, don't we, over the course of time. You think about teachers or people that have influenced us, we can be very loyal quite quickly. I'm sure there were followers of John that weren't eager or immediate to take up his injunction to follow the Messiah, because they were evaluating it, weighing it in their mind. As we often want to do, we'll weigh things in our mind. Left, right, what course should I take? How should I follow through? Am I abandoning the teacher that I've been following? Am I leaving something behind? But he's telling them, make sure you're following the Messiah. Here is the one. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He's providing credible evidence that this is the Messiah. See, John is key to getting the whole process started. That's the way it was designed by God the Father in having Elizabeth having a child in her older years. But the one who would then bring to focus the beginning of the messianic life upon this earth. Get a leg up, prepare the way for the king. The forerunner. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Redeemer Messiah is here. And he wants to remove the man-made thinking and barriers that would cause people to doubt and want them to stay with him rather than follow the Messiah. I'm not worthy to do this to you, he told the Lord. I can't even, and I'm worthy to open your shoelaces, little shoe latches. But it was required, it was right for this to be done, as we know from the Gospel of Matthew. And this marks the beginning. Beginning of a different time. Loss of loved ones marks the beginning of a different time. Changes and transitions in life that can be expected, come unexpectedly, mark the beginning of a different time. And so this time period begins where now Jesus is the focus and John's influence decreases, that the Lord would increase. So one's on the curve down, the other one's on the curve up. And John, the apostle, saw and bear record. He saw that this Spirit descends and that John the Baptist is saying this, said this. And he puts it in Scripture so it will provide record to us that this is the Son of God, the Messiah. And so there's two sections to our text. One first is the record of John's record of the baptism of Jesus. It was also in Matthew chapter 3. But now it called disciples immediately. You know, cut to the chase. Let's not get caught up in some of these peripherals. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's call disciples. Let's put them in position of follower. Let's have some clarity on the roles. Who does what? All within the umbrella of the oneness of God. Father, Son, and Spirit. Even John's insight into his own role and place in the church. Or in the scripture that we have in front of us. You know, his was really a bit part, wasn't it? Versus the starring role. We look at movies or cinematic endeavors, we look at who has a starring role, and then ever watch the end of after a movie's over, you look at all these bit players that are listed out. Have some small part in the big picture. So maybe John wasn't quite a bit player, but wasn't in the starring role. Bears record. And so his own disciples are understandably confused, as we've considered. And so again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, John the Baptist disciples, and looking upon Jesus, again he confirms in verse 36 what he said in verse 29, pointing to Jesus the Christ, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. This is the one you should follow." Uncertain who, what, why was their allegiance misplaced? No, the place to start. John's transferring. He's making this transition smooth. But he doesn't want any mistake. He wants to be clear. Ever had a teacher or somebody say, "Let me be clear about this." But when we're teaching, let me be clear. These are the salient points. These are the important things to know. Let there be no confusion. And oftentimes you'll ask your student, "Now, what did I just tell you? Did you get it? Was I clear?" And so there's this repetition and there's feedback. Always that educators use to make sure that what's important is retained. And that's what John is doing here. Make no mistake of who you're following. This is the Lamb of God. And it tells us in verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Response to the faith call. Follow Jesus, do not follow John. There's uncertainty in a decision we're making. Ask the question. Tough to make an observation or a good decision in a vacuum, isn't it? And so that's good advice to all of us. If we're uncertain about something in life or something we're dealing with or something we're facing, ask the question. Ask it of your spouse. Ask it of a trusted friend. Ask it of someone who you know that would provide you good feedback. Seek godly counsel, it tells us in the Proverbs. ask the question. So in verse 37, as his two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus, I thought about that. John the Baptist would have made a great disciple in my mind. Right? He's a relative. He's got good character. He's been doing the right thing. He is the one who's out after the money, not padding his pockets. He's been living out in the wilderness. He would have made a great disciple in my mind, but that's not the way it was to be. His position was short time frame, and now it moves on into, you know, Peter, James, Andrew, John, etc. That would be called the 12 initial disciples. That would have been my choice. But that wasn't the Lord's choice. So what does that tell us this morning? Sometimes, and oftentimes, man's opinion can interfere. Man's opinion can interfere. You are thinking about grace and truth coming by Jesus Christ. Our speech is to be what? Grace seasoned with salt. Now put that in the converse. Doesn't work. Salt seasoned with grace, that's ridiculous. But I think people think like that. Or I'm going to be real salty and direct and going to straighten out the wagon. Now, it's not to be salt seasoned with grace, it's grace seasoned with salt. A little bit goes a long ways. We can take lesson from that, can't we? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're supposed to be light upon this world and into this world. We're to be the salt of the earth, but we're not to be dispensing salt so liberally that grace comes secondary. We're to be showing grace to others only seasoned. And so these men interact with the Lord. Two disciples heard him speak, they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said unto him, "Rabbi, where do you live?" Since we've been told by our teacher, John the Baptist, that we should follow you, we need to come to your house and let's commune, let's talk. Sit at the kitchen table, proverbially, as we would think of it. Let's come to understand what you're teaching and what's going to be the message that you have in comparison to what you've heard. How many, you know, months or maybe a year or how long have they been following John the Baptist? We don't know. He said to them, "Come and see. Come on over." They came and saw where he was living and abode with him that day at about the 10th hour. So it's getting on lunchtime. Let's have good conversation. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was who? Andrew. Andrew wasn't a significant player in this, among the disciples, you know, Peter, James, and John that were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. But Andrew had a very important role here. Because he went to his brother, found his own brother, Simon. Simon Peter. Peter, one of the major players in the early church. "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ." John, Andrew, Peter were the three that heard John the Baptist speak. And so he would choose, the Lord would choose, as he still does today, a variety pack of people. Think about us today here as a variety pack of people and personalities and approaches and styles and lifestyle, but a variety of men. Some thoughtful, some more reserved, some that might have had more questions, some that were much more impulsive, some that were very direct. Not all the same. That's the way humankind is, in the image of God, but yet not all the same. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is interpreted meaning the Christ. It was so important to him that he went to see his brother, biological, natural brother, and told him. You get important news. Oftentimes we will do that. We will talk to our brother or our sister, or our sibling. Andrew went to his brother Simon Peter and brought him, verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. Then bring him to John the Baptist. Then bring him somewhere else. He brought him immediately because this is of such high importance. Brought him to the Lord. And so all of us go through a very individual faith experience through our lives. Yeah, there's some overlap and some commonality, but you know, we walk through this life in many respects individually and on our own. Love of God for man is still sure. The love of God the Father for Peter and Andrew and John and the disciples that are spoken of here and for all of us is still sure. Not going to diminish. Our feelings will ebb and flow through life. Love is a commitment. Feelings change. Even as we think of our lives in our journey today, there oftentimes are mixed feelings dependent upon circumstances and what is going on in our lives at the time. Release of the captive to sin, is the mission of Jesus Christ that is inaugurated here. He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which by interpretation means a stone. Rock is resolute, stands firm. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it tells us we can build our lives on two different principles. One of the shifting sands of the opinion of man and of time, of our culture, of our thinking at the time that we live, or we can build our house upon a rock. Think of the rains that are descending upon California the last couple weeks, which is good because they've been going through an extensive drought. We got the leftovers, as I was using in a text yesterday to someone I know. The rains beat, the winds howl. But if the house is built upon the rock, even today, our spiritual house is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, and shall stand. And that's what we trust even today, this moment in 2017. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, may we trust your word and the guidance of your spirit, even in this new year that is beginning this month. Transitions that we witness in our families, the changes that occur that we don't always understand, the losses that we face, the realities of illness. We will appreciate and trust your guidance and your hand in our lives as we move forward. May our lives, may our house of faith be founded upon that rock, which is Jesus Christ, your Son. May we not be caught up in the shifting sands of time. May we stand for the truth and uphold that which is right and reject that which is wrong. May we be principled in our actions. May we be disciplined in our journey. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, world without end. Amen.